Famous man once said, "If God told me to go into the streets there and to eat that dog excrement, I would go eat it. And what's more, I know it was good for me." Do you know who said that? It was Luther. Martin Luther. And we all know about Martin Luther's famous stand in the face of the greatest political powers, the Holy Roman Empire, Charles V, and the greatest religious powers, the Pope, the Roman Catholic Church. And it was really certain death for him to say what he said when he said, "Here I stand. I stand on the Word of God." What could it be that makes someone know for certain that the Bible is the Word of God so that he will risk his very life? What is it makes us know that this is the Word of God? This part of the confession answers the question how it is we accept the Scripture as the very Word of God. How is it we trust that these books, which we accept as the canon of Scripture, are inspired, inerrant, infallible, and therefore the authoritative Word of God? The answer is simply, after all other forms of evidence and convincing and reason, it is simply that the Holy Spirit teaches us this. Only God the Spirit can convince us that this is the Word of God, His Word. And that is why we believe it. Now, the Spirit uses also reasonable evidence, internal and external evidence, that is very mighty. I'm going to maybe just briefly mention them in a little bit. But Spirit uses evidence. It's very strong and it's very clear in its own right. But at the foundation of it all, we only believe the Word of God and accept it because it is taught to us by God Himself. It is taught to us by the Spirit that it is His Word. Only the Spirit can convince us. For one thing, that has to be true because we are fallen by nature and blinded to the truth by fallen nature. Our sinful nature makes us repel against God and His Word. We read in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, but the natural man, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14, the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Our sinful nature causes us, before we are converted, to reject the Bible. And the enemy of the soul of our soul feeds that blindness. And until the Spirit comes and effectually opens our eyes, calls us, and awakens us sinners, that is, until the Spirit regenerates us, we cannot hear. We cannot see. We're blind to it. We're deaf to it. It's veiled. It's veiled to the lost. The Bible is, the Scripture, the Bible, the Word of God is veiled to the lost and the perishing. 2 Corinthians 4:3 says, even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. They're blind in sin. They're blind by Satan. And so the gospel, no matter how clear, no matter how reasonable, no matter how much evidence there is, it is rejected by the natural man. Now, when the Spirit teaches us, we embrace it. We believe it. We internally then know it is true. And maybe some of you remember when the Scripture was an all too difficult book and you couldn't understand anything in it. I mean, you could read the words, of course. You could understand the grammar and the history, but it was dead to you because you were dead. You were dead in your sin. You were spiritually dead, and your mind was darkened. And then all of a sudden, you remember, all of a sudden, you began to read it again, and it made sense this time. And God, that's the Spirit opening up His Word to you. You believed it then, and you believed the gospel message in it about Jesus Christ. That's the internal work of the Spirit. And that's an effectual work of the Spirit. And that's what the confession says there. We believe without a doubt all things contained in them. Not so much because the church receives and approves them as such, but above all because the Holy Spirit. See, the Holy Spirit teaches us. So the Spirit who wrote Scripture teaches us to believe it. It actually, we could actually say it is a Trinitarian teaching. If we follow through Scripture, we see that this is something that the Father, the Son, and the Spirit teach. We could say the Spirit taught us. We could say Christ taught us. We could say the Father taught us. John 6:45, it is written in the prophets, and they shall all be taught of God. Therefore, everyone who has heard and learned from the Father, Jesus says, comes to me. Now, listen to Hebrews 8:10. For this is the covenant I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws in their mind. I will write them on their hearts. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. God the Father teaches us. God the Son teaches us. 1 John 5:20. And we know that the Son of God has come and given us understanding. The Son of God has come and given us understanding, that we may know Him who is true, and we are in Him who is true, in His Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. John 10, Jesus says what? So many times He repeats, my sheep hear my voice, and they come. That's the effectual call. That is the internal call of the Spirit, but He calls it the voice of the Son. Jesus often says, you'll notice Jesus often saying, let him who has ears to hear, hear. He's talking about the internal ear, the internal hearing. Not just hearing audibly. Matthew, this is repeated so many times, but here are some good ones for you to look up sometime. Matthew 11:15, Matthew 13:9, 13:13, 13:15, 13:16, 13:17. 13:43, and there's a myriad of other examples. And Jesus also said, didn't He say, Mark 4:11, to you it has been given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. Everyone outside, they can't hear. So God the Father teaches us, the Son teaches us, and God the Spirit teaches us. 1 Corinthians 2:9-10, but as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love Him, but God has revealed them to us through His Spirit. You could also look at Galatians 4:6, Romans 8:15. So God, the Trinity, teaches us to believe it is the Word of God, and we receive every book, the canon of Scripture, as the Word of God. And all the great evidence, and there is good evidence, without the Spirit, however, cannot produce that. But now with the evidence, with the Spirit, the evidence becomes a supporting and confirming cast. The evidence are things like the church reception, the church recognition of the canon, evidence like the consistency of Scripture, the grandeur of Scripture, evidence like the wisdom of Scripture, especially when it's followed, it's a kind of proof. The divine fulfillment of prophecy and predictions, never, ever failing. And that's why the confession says at the end there, for even the blind themselves are able to see. What are they able to see? That the things predicted in them are being fulfilled. And it never proves wrong. It's my kind of mockery. When all the scholars and all the archaeologists say, well, we've never found this name in history that the Bible mentions. It can't be true. And then all of a sudden, another year goes by and they find that name in history. Oops. Listen, the Bible's always true. Always. Another great confession put it this way when it came to evidence. This is very beautiful. And by the way, this document, I'll tell you what it is after. This document really depended upon ours. It was dependent upon ours. We may be moved, this is what it says, we may be moved and induced by the testimony of the church to a high and reverent esteem of the Holy Scripture and the heavenliness of the matter, the efficacy of the doctrine, the majesty of the style, the consent of all the parts, the scope of the whole, which is to give all glory to God, the full discovery it makes of the one and only way of man's salvation, the many other incomparable excellencies, the entire perfection thereof, are arguments whereby it does abundantly evidence itself to be the Word of God. Yet notwithstanding our full persuasion and assurance of the infallible truth and divine authority thereof is from the inward work of the Holy Spirit, bearing witness by and with the Word in our hearts. End quote. Some of you know what that's from. That's the Westminster Confession. That we now confess that this is the work of the Spirit. That we confess that is to give all glory to God. And to confess that truth causes, and to believe that truth causes our faith to rest in God and not on men or the church or the evidence. See, our faith rests in God. And that's important. That's important. And let me just say briefly, because the Roman Catholic Church claims that we are to accept Scripture because the church authoritatively determined what was Scripture. They say they authoritatively determined what was Scripture. Calvin rightly called that a pernicious error. And you can read about that sometime if you want. It's a good read. Book 1 in Calvin's Institutes. Book 1, chapter 7. The early church, and this is the true church now, the early church, the true church, when they dealt with the canon of Scripture, and they were examining the books that really they believed belonged in the canon, the books they believed were the authoritative Word of God, they never made the canon. It's very important. They didn't make the canon of Scripture. They didn't make it authentic by their recognition. It was authentic in itself. It was the Word of God. And I say they knew that. They were able to judge that by the secret work of the Spirit. The Spirit testified, this is the Word of God. And they did have a criteria they used, and it was a very good one. It was very reasonable. Now, the recognition of the church was very important. It's the true church. And that's before the Roman church was corrupted. The recognition was important. But what Rome asserts now, what the Roman Catholic Church asserts now is the authority of the church. Because Rome exalts itself above the Word of God and above God. That's what they're doing. They're exalting their own authority above the Word and above God. They're exalting themselves as the authority, see? Excuse me. Now follow me. Because I'm not going to take a long time to explain this, but it's important that I say this, and if you don't catch it today, you'll catch it another time when we touch on these things. The Bible is not an authoritative collection of writings. It is a collection of authoritative writings. I'm going to repeat that. The Bible is not an authoritative collection of writings. It is a collection of authoritative writings. See, one puts the authority in the church and in the magisterium and in the pope and in the priest and in their collecting and in their deciding. See, the other puts the authority in the Word of God itself. And that's where it belongs. See, Rome makes itself the authority. And so then you must what? Listen to them. And so now they can add tradition to the scripture. And they can add what the Pope says ex cathedra to the scripture. And it's scripture. And they equate that with scripture. They will tell you what scripture means, because they're the authority. You must let them only interpret it. And the church will give you assurance. The church. Calvin called this unbridled tyranny. He was right. But brethren, your faith rests on the Word of God, the authority of the Word of God. Your faith rests in the gospel of Jesus Christ taught therein. You can read it. You can read it yourself. You can interpret it. And you can know it because you're taught of God. This truth that we're emphasizing here and emphasized in the confession in Article 5, that it is the Holy Spirit that must teach us, reminds us not to rely on the evidence, nor to try and maybe when we evangelize, to convince people through the evidence, or our eloquence, or our ability to argue. And I mean that in a very positive way. But we must bring the scripture to them and pray to God to open their hearts and open their minds and receive it. We pray, God, send your spirit that he may hear if he's your chosen one, if he's chosen to hear. For until that happens, not the soundest argument, not the clearest evidence, not the most eloquent evangelist will do any good. You are talking to a corpse unless God gives them life and gives them ears and gives them eyes to see. So may the Spirit of God teach them or they're deaf. This gives glory to God. And your faith is in God and in His Word, not in men. Let's pray. Oh Father, we're so thankful that the Spirit has taught us. And we're so thankful that we can give you the credit. And we're so thankful we don't have to depend on ourselves or our eloquence or knowing all the evidence. But we need to just clearly and truthfully teach your word and let your Holy Spirit work in the hearts of men. And we'll give you glory. In Jesus' name, amen.